Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, manager of Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair. I'm a film and theatre maker based on the island of Mull.
And Alistair, what is this podcast?
This podcast is about what happens when public spaces and the public meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? So it's tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, or wherever people meet, linger, and leave things or bits.
No.
Fluids?
No. It's all bad. We are going to start, as we usually do, with a frequently asked question. Now, this frequently asked question is a little bit of a follow-on from last week's conversation about sneaking into the cinema underage.
Oh, aye.
Which you certainly did, and I certainly did, and people still do. I'm going to do a very quick roundup of what the age ratings mean. Because we're in the UK, this won't be relevant to some people, so we're just going to rattle through it real quick. Alistair, what is a U?
Universal Certificate for all family members.
And what is a PG?
It's parental guidance for children with their adults for who need adult supervision for the themes such as mild peril.
I love mild peril.
Mild peril's the best.
I didn't tell you I was going to throw to you, so you're doing very well so far. Alistair, what is a 12A?
A 12A is for a young, a 12-year-old, people up to 12-year-old who do not need to be accompanied by an adult.
Yes. Now, this is interesting that you're stuttering, which I'm going to entirely keep in, I'm afraid, because 12A is the one that causes the most confusion, I think. So you're right.
Because there was 12, wasn't there?
Because there was, it used to be a 12 when we were kids. 12A, just to be extremely clear about it, is under 12-year-olds are not allowed to attend unless they have an adult with them. And an adult is somebody over 18. If they're over 12, it's all good. A 12A shouldn't be seen by anyone under 8 unless the adult has a very specific reason why they think that their child will be able to handle it.
Are you going to inquire, excuse me, this film features mild peril. How dare you bring a small child in here? Ah, well, you see, they're very used to peril. They're exposed to peril on a daily basis, for they are a dinosaur farmer on the west coast of Scotland.
Well, so, you say that, but the last Bond was a 12A.
But why would you have watched that, though? I mean, I'm a big Bond fan, but geez, that's the best way to go to sleep ever.
But in the first scene, the child's mother gets shot in the face and people get drowned and it's
mildly perilous.
It's more than mildly perilous.
Extremely perilous.
It's extremely perilous.
I'm still angry about that movie. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie. That movie really cheeses me off. There's only 15, 20 minutes in that. That's really good. Stuff in Cuba is fantastic and proper old Bond, but that is not Bond. It's not fun. You want Bond to be fun. Sorry. It's another podcast.
I really liked it.
Well, you're wrong. Alistair, many people do, and good luck to you all.
Alistair, what's a 15?
A 15 is for people over 15 to see.
Yes, and what's an 18?
Again, the similar concept, but up to the age of 18, you're not allowed to go and see it. If you're 18 or over, you can see this joyous film.
I've got a couple of Facebook reviews about age ratings. My wife and our friend took our children to watch Air, which is a 15 film. They were refused entry as the kids had no ID on them. Fair enough if they've rocked up on their own to watch, but their mothers were with them and watching the film also. Absolutely disgraceful. They must not need valued custom if they can afford to turn people away. My response to that is just bring some ID for the kids. It's actually, and I've got a small amount of sympathy, but not very much. In Scotland, I have no sympathy because all kids get a young Scot card when they go to the grammar school or high school.
Amazing things. Incredible.
There's no real excuse in Scotland. If a kid comes in for a 15 film and they don't have their young Scot card with them, the reason is because they're not 15. There's some triplets actually, who I didn't realise were triplets, and I was asking them their birthdays for the for a 12 film it was at the time, and the first one said, "Are my birthdays on the 11th of April?" And then whatever year it was, and then the second one I said, "Right, when's your birthday?" And they're like, 11th of April." I was like, oh, okay, come on now. And then the third one, 11th of April, I was like, ah, oh, nah, come on.
That's fantastic.
One of my colleagues was like, they're triplets. It's genuinely true.
They're octuplets. Yeah.
Oh, God. So I've also got a message from Mary, who we've mentioned before.
Hey.
Of baking fame. Mm. And the message begins, I think I'm going to jail. the number of messages I get from Mary where she thinks that she's going to jail is very plentiful. She says, a group came in to get tickets for The Equalizer. Mum, dad, kids. Kids looked over 15 at first glance, but I queried the youngest looking one who looked really young. The mum pulled me aside and said he was premature and is very sensitive about his height and he is genuinely 15. And now I'm doubting her and I think I'm going to jail.
That's care, diligence and skill, Mary's keywords.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And at the other end of the spectrum, one of the problems that we certainly have is telling who's a senior and who's an adult. We've got different ticket prices for adults and seniors. And
well, that's a really tricky one, yeah.
It's very tricky to ask somebody. So my plea is if you are a senior and you want to get your senior ticket price, please mention it. One of my other staff has a great story where she would get what she thought was a mother, a grandmother and a child. So three generations of the same family, they'd come in quite regularly. And she would put the child through as a child, the mother through as an adult and the grandmother through as a senior. And eventually they came over to Evie and said, which one of us do you think is the senior? And so obviously Evie sort of crumpled inside and said, you? And they all just absolutely cracked up because the two grown-ups were twins.
That's brilliant.
I know.
And oh, that's lovely.
Oh, no. Thankfully, they found it really, really funny. And of course, the twin that Evie had been putting through as an adult was delighted with the whole situation. Alistair, this week, Campbelltown Picture House turned 110. We had a birthday.
That's amazing.
I know, absolutely delighted. It's been going 110 years continuously, brackets, except the times that we were closed for refurbishment and for COVID. It is the oldest purpose-built, continuously running cinema in Scotland.
And the Hippodrome in...
The Hippodrome is the oldest cinema in Scotland. Full stop. Okay. We have to put a fair amount of caveats into us in order to make us the oldest something. So the Hippodrome is older by a year than us. But we managed to get in there with the purpose built and continuously running. We got some quite lovely messages, which came up with some sort of good stories that I'd like to look at in future episodes.
Yeah.
David and Jane Mayo, who were the wonderful couple behind the refurbishment of the cinema, they basically saved the cinema and raised all the money and got the refurbishment to happen. David has said that during World War II, the cinema was much enjoyed by naval personnel. If ships were set to sail at short notice, notices were flashed up on the screen like crew of HMS Bustler returned to board immediately. Isn't that wonderful?
Cool. That's really fab. Yeah.
You'd be sitting there for your film and suddenly
there'd
be a wee sign up on the screen. Oh, and half the audience would leave.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's in the days when people, films played kind of in loops and things like that as well. So people would come in halfway through a film and sit to watch the end and then watch the start and then leave at the point they came in and that sort of stuff as well. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we had a couple of comments about but exactly that as well. And Jane mentions Biscuit Hips.
What's that?
Biscuit Hips was a notorious audience member. Who would come in and bring her washing in to dry it on the radiators.
Lovely. That makes total sense. Why does it smell damp in here? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we got a lovely message from Willie Dernan, whose parents, George and Isa, were the projectionists at the cinema. So George was there for a long time, I think 50 years. And Isa was there during the war. Yeah. She was trained up. And I'm going to get you to read this one, if that's okay, because it requires a certain accent that you can do and I can't.
Well, certainly. Thank you. It's the south of England. No. Willie says that one tale that comes to mind was an usherette from many moons ago, and she was looking for seats for the late arrivals. She would shine her torch along the rows with the order to stand up till I see where you're sitting down, meaning stand up till I see where you're sitting down. And he then goes on to say maybe she used to be a Glasgow clippy or a ticket collector, saying, come on, gaff. So, rather lovely.
I really love that.
Stand up till I see where you're sitting down.
Willie will be absolutely full of stories. Because him and his twin brother used to play there as children, you know, just the picture house was their big playground. Emails. I'm going to get you to read this one, if that's okay.
Okay.
I've just sent it to you there. So Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Right. Well, this one comes from, we're going to call this person Leo. That's not the real name, and it's from a cinema that I think we both know within rural Argyllshire, and it's rather cool. So, hello. My time at the cinema was amazing, and it's very sad that the job of a projectionist has sadly gone due to the modern age of digital projection. I worked as main projectionist from the age of 14 until I finished university. I worked 7 days, with Sunday being double time. The previous projectionist kept this day, and I worked as an usher initially. The films would be collected from Glasgow, and then Leo would come in early to splice the multiple reels together and add the ads and age-appropriate trailers. Then I'd watch it if it was a film as I fancied, as I'd get to see it a day or two early. Kind of one of the great perks of the job. Totally.
It really is, yeah. Although I thought that I would do it all the time. When I started working in the cinema, I was like, I'm going to watch all the films. And then gradually you start like, oh, I don't really fancy that one. And now, oh my goodness, I've got really lax watching the films. People keep saying, oh, what did you think about it when you watched it? No, I haven't seen this one.
I like the start and I like the end. Thank you.
Yeah.
And a wee bit in the middle, just to make sure it worked okay.
The queue going into the credits is pristine. Mm. Anyway, sorry. So Leo continues.
Leo goes on, brave heart. Bray fart. The buzz around this film was extraordinary. For once, we were getting the film on release day. This didn't happen often, as the boss liked getting them a few weeks after release, as a smaller percentage to be paid to the distributor, usually, as we've said before, actually. This cinema was booked out weeks in advance for the release. I had a couple of nights off, so it was left to the Sunday projectionist to splice Braveheart together. It's a simple enough job, but one that needs to be done correctly. Check if the reel is head out or foot out, then splicing them all together in numerical order with the tape splicer. This may require some of the reels to be switched round the correct way before splicing. That's crucial. Then splicing in the trailers and adverts. Cue the opening and out of Braveheart, and Leo is in the audience, and the infamous pa 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 Pearl and Dean blasts out, and straight away I realise that the Sunday projectionist hasn't realised it's a 15 rating and alcohol ads are playing. I bet it was the Smirnoff Ice one on the train. That was amazing. Was it the Jitter Man? Were you maybe in New Zealand when that was on?
I think I was elsewhere. I don't mind that at all.
Maybe it was before that. Anyway, I make a note on what ones to take out for when I screen it, and I enjoy the trailers. The film starts, and what a marvel it's 12 minutes this is, until it starts to go wrong. The splice between reel 1 and reel 2 comes through. No sound and actors walking backwards.
Oh, no.
I head up to the projection booth, and the Sunday projectionist is in a panic. So I shut the projection down, bring the lights up, and start the very long process of cutting reel 2 out and switching it round, then rejoining.
Oh, God. I'm getting anxiety just thinking about this.
When you cut the header and the footer off reels, you normally leave one picture of the frame on each, as it makes life easier to identify the correct end when returning it and for checking purposes. Also, when joining a film, the soundtrack is offset from the picture frame and it's obvious it's spliced correctly, as the soundtrack is on the... which side of the frame?
The right side of the frame.
Yeah, there we go. It's on the right side, so when it joins, it matches correctly.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Oh, no.
It's not... Sorry, go for it. Yeah, sorry.
No,
yeah.
I'm just getting really anxious thinking about... There's nothing that takes longer than a problem with projection, and you know that you've got to rewind a reel, or any sort of winding just feels like it takes so long when there's 200 people sitting downstairs.
Anyway, it's not a quick process, but I fix the error and head back downstairs to enjoy the film. He says, enjoy. There are a few disgruntled customers asking for refunds. I enjoy a half hour or so of the film, the poor soul, until another disaster whereby the same thing happens.
Oh,
cue another dash up to fix this. To cut a long story short, every other reel was... was spliced together incorrectly or in the wrong order. By the end of the movie, there were just 6 people left out of a capacity of around 200. This was the last time the Sunday Projectionist ever made up a film.
That's given me anxiety. That's awful. And with for something like Braveheart, then a reel is around about 15, 20 minutes. So that's going to be 8 or 9 reels to wind back. Oh dear.
They also have another story for another time, which is quite brilliant, but we'll share that for another time, I think, yeah.
Oh, lovely. Okay, I'll leave that with you. You can read that one as well. I'd love to hear projection stories. I love projection. Actually, I hate projection stories because they just make me feel sick because of all the relatively few but also significant problems that I caused as a 35mm projectionist. I once spliced a film. I never spliced it incorrectly to that extent, but I did cut in slightly the wrong place. So I ended up in reel 2 of, I can't remember what film it was, but in reel 2, then suddenly there was half of the picture and then half of the previous picture going through the projector. Do you see what I mean?
Because I just
cut the frame in the wrong place, which is really, really stupid because it's right there. It's really obvious. But if it's a particularly dark scene, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to see.
Black into black, yeah.
Yeah, going black into black. But I just didn't count the sprocket holes well enough.
No, that must be such a stressful kind of job to get it right. I do remember things going wrong and, yeah, you kind of hear the thing spinning around and, there's a cinema I used to go to where that used to happen every now and again and it was quite something. The world of cinema is about putting you into an illusion, you know, stepping that flickering light, the transfixing beam, as some academics call it. How do you, you know, getting sucked into that perspective and then to get knocked out of it quite brutally is kind of brilliant. It's very comic.
Projectionist mishap that I've got, which was from a previous projectionist that I worked with. Again, this was not me, but it was a cinema that had 35mm and digital in the same screen, so you could switch the digital into some of the other screens, or you could play 35mm into the screens, and it was just a case of switching over from one to the other. And he had a kids' film playing in one of the screens, and he was testing a digital film, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yes, yes.
In another screen, and he accidentally, I don't know how, but accidentally managed to switch Girl with the Dragon Tattoo into this kid's film. So suddenly they were watching this animation.
Oh my God.
And suddenly switched into the worst possible moment that you could switch into.
The Nazi bondage dungeon.
The Nazi bondage dungeon. And
right.
A room full of children were subjected to something they really shouldn't.
Oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear. Mummy, I'm scarred.
Yeah, it stands up as a notorious lesson.
There's a cracker. I used to love that with video rentals, VHS rentals back in the day. And there was a local video shop that was mostly very good at having the videos labelled in the right places. And I remember going in one time, I think it was something like, oh, it was some kind of family comedy, like Adventures in Babysitting or something like that. I'd gone to rent and got it home, popped it in, and it was Last Exit to Brooklyn was in there. Which, yeah, that was unexpected.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I was watching it with my mum. I was like, I don't think this is the right film. So, yeah, it was quite, yeah, Adventures in Babysitting took a different turn that night. Yeah.
Shall we wind down?
Let us wind down, do. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you want to send us in any tales of wonder and projectionists or things left behind, bits and fluids.
No bits.
Please do feel free to do so, and we can be reached on downthebackoftheseats@gmail.com.